This episode is brought to you by Odmo's Pizza in Cambie. Handmade awesome pizza plus craft beer, wine, and cider. Delivered. Call them today at 503-263-8444.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Cambie,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Welcome to the Now Hear This, Cambie podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Martina Baker, and this is what's happening this week in our community. The Cambie Fire District held a ceremonial groundbreaking Wednesday for its new Northside Medical Response Station next to the city shops on Northeast Territorial Road. The station was a centerpiece of the $4.9 million bond district voters overwhelmingly passed in November 2018. And the need for it has only become more apparent in the year since the increasing traffic on Highway 99E and stopped trains on the railroad, hampering firefighters' response to emergency calls on the north side of town. But the project has also been complicated by skyrocketing costs for building materials and labor. The long-term 50-year lease the city granted the district for the property was a huge help in keeping costs down, Chief Jim Davis explained, while also crediting the district's board of directors and the Emmerich construction team, which made concessions to keep the price tag as low as possible. The final station will be constructed of prefabricated metal and span 3,600 square feet, about half of which will consist of equipment bays, with the rest dedicated to living quarters and support facilities. While the station's primary purpose will be medical, it will also house a fire engine, along with an ambulance and two firefighters and EMTs. Students in training may also be stationed there at times. The station will actually be the district's third. Cambie Fire also operates a substation on Highway 170, which primarily serves outlying areas of the district. Officials hope the medical response station will be operational by early spring of 2022. For photos, find this story on our website at cambiefirst.com or follow the Cambie Current on Facebook and Instagram. Rite Aid has reduced its hours amid staffing challenges, with local customers reporting intermittent delays in getting prescriptions filled. Chef Tana Klum, who was discharged to her home after breaking her hip last week, said it took 2 days to get several prescriptions needed for her recovery, including painkillers and a potentially life-saving blood thinner. After calling the pharmacy numerous times, Klum called the hospital to see if the drugs could be rerouted to Fred Meyer, but they couldn't get through to Rite Aid either. Finally, my neighbor went back to Rite Aid and threw a mild fit and got my prescription, she recalled. I was without pain meds for 30 plus hours. Klum said she is a loyal and longtime Rite Aid customer and hates to complain. She understands the labor challenges facing the company and many other employers across the state and country. I love this town with all my heart, and I'm really not trying to be negative, Klum told Now Hear This Cambie. I know they're short-staffed and doing the best they can. I hope they're able to resolve this issue. The Cambie Rite Aid is currently running on reduced hours, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, and closed on Sunday. Like most pharmacies and retailers, Rite Aid is experiencing some staffing challenges in different regions, including in Oregon. Rite Aid Senior External Communications Manager Brad Ducey told us in an email. Ducey said the company is working on a range of initiatives aimed at recruiting and retaining pharmacy associates so it can resume normal hours. In the meantime, our pharmacists continue to work hard and with purpose to support our communities with COVID-19 testing, vaccines, and day-to-day guidance on whole health, he said. Even when stretched, we are working hard to stay open and support the health of our customers. An officer who has served Molalla for more than two decades will succeed the retiring Frank Schoenfeld as the community's next top cop. Lieutenant Chris Long will take the reins as the new chief of the Molalla Police Department starting December 1st, Schoenfeld reported in a farewell letter posted to the department's Facebook page Thursday. He is a man of integrity, highly skilled and qualified to lead this agency, said Schoenfeld, who announced his retirement last week after 6 years with Molalla PD, the last three of them as chief, and more than three decades in law enforcement. He is also known to many of you as a very dedicated Molallan who has grown up in this great community. You really could not be in better hands. Long has worn a number of hats and is more than 20 years with Molalla Police, but has often been one of the department's most visible officers and officials, previously serving as PIO and leading community outreaches, such as handing out $100 bills to unsuspecting families during the holiday season. Schoenfeld's tenure, while somewhat brief, was rather eventful, encompassing the pandemic, a rash of historic wildfires, a destructive ice storm, and a deadly heat wave. Through it all, Molalla showed its true colors, the chief said. I have never been so impressed by the caring nature of our community as I watched people pull together to help others in need, he wrote. Molalla is a wonderful, growing community, and I believe the future is bright. Schoenfeld's final day as chief will be November 30th. Canby's Eco Park will soon become part of Hollywood history with its inclusion in the Oregon Film Trail, a statewide tour through notable filming locations and strategic points going back over 100 years. While the Canby area has drawn many a director for film, television, and commercial projects in the past, most of the settings have been on private land whose owners may not want their properties advertised in a directory like the Film Trail. Councilor Sarah Spoon, who spearheaded the project with the help of city staff, said the challenge was able to document something that was filmed here and filmed on public land. Most landowners don't want their private property to be advertised as a destination to visit, Spoon said. But Eco Park, which is city-owned and open to the public, was a setting for the popular NBC fantasy procedural series Grimm back in 2014. Its season 3 episode, Synchronicity, which aired in April of that year, featured a number of locales from the park, which stood in for a European forest in the modern-day fairy tale adaptation. The city helped the production's crew identify locations and provide access to other needed accommodations like parking to store trailers, equipment, and crew facilities. A film crew of 80 and 8 actors spent 13 hours setting up and filming several scenes in the park's disc golf course and a field near the logging road trail. Other scenes from the episode were shot at the Aurora State Airport and a home and nursery in Molalla. Producers said they liked the Canby site because it had the look of pristine wilderness but was easy to access, accommodating the wide variety of equipment needed for a professional television production. A public celebration will be held at 3 p.m. October 29th to celebrate the new designation and unveil the permanent plaque that will officially mark Eco Park as a stop on the Oregon Film Trail. Light refreshments will be served. Cougar Country, hometown sports coverage is brought to you by Rife and Hunsaker, PC, When you need an attorney, turn to the firm Canby has trusted for over 50 years. Call them today at 503-266-3456. For the latest sports news, follow us on Twitter at Cougar Country OR. Number 5, Canby notched another victory in its resurgent 2021 campaign with a convincing 43-14 win over Forest Grove on the Vikings' home turf Friday, setting the stage for next week's showdown with an undefeated, top-ranked Wilsonville Wildcats at Cougar Stadium. Tyler Canold, who led the state in 5A rushing yards going into Friday's night matchup, had a 41-yard touchdown run in the route. But his backfield mate, Bryce Oliver, stole the show this week, rushing for more than 100 yards and 3 scores, while senior quarterback Mikey Gibson commanded the offense with his arms and legs. While Canold and Oliver's commanded much of the spotlight, as they have all season, much of the credit for Friday's victory is due to Joe Brockmiller, who was a one-man wrecking crew on both sides of the ball. The senior, who has also shined as a receiver this year, finished the night with an interception, fumble recovery, and a crucial momentum-swinging sack that ended a Viking drive. The win sets up next week's season-ending showdown with Wilsonville, the biggest game for the program in 8 years, and a dress rehearsal for a possible playoff clash that could decide this year's champion. Next Friday's game is also another chapter in the budding crosstown rivalry, and for Canby, a much-anticipated rematch of the disheartening setback last spring, in which the well-oiled Wildcats had their way with an injury-ridden Canby squad at Randall Stadium. No doubt Gibson, who played injured in that game and took about half of the snaps at quarterback while limping back and forth from the sidelines, has had this one circled on his calendar for months. Kickoff is at 7 p.m. The Canby boys soccer team earned their first road win of the season against Oregon City last week before bidding farewell to several key players in an emotional senior night at Cougar Stadium. The Cougars, who are 2-10, 2-8 Three Rivers League, grabbed their first road win of the season and second win over the Pioneers with the 3-1 victory Monday. Canby spread the scoring around with Christian Sanchez Ramirez, Sean Gerhardt, and Ergar Ojeda all punching in goals. Coach Ryan McCormick credited the team's defensive line of Heladio Vera, Brian Santos, Carlos Perez, and Mario Batista for holding strong to close the game out. The Canby girls soccer team was unable to pick up their second win of the season last week, falling 3-0 to the Oregon City Pioneers on Monday. While they were not able to record a goal all week, the Cougar girls did play the Tiger Tigers to a gritty, scoreless tie Wednesday. With one game left in the season, both Canby soccer teams will finish far outside the playoff picture this year. However, they have a chance to finish out the season strong with matchups against West Lynn on Monday. The rebuilding Canby Cougar volleyball team wrapped up its 2021 season with losses to Oregon City and Lake Ridge last week. The program finished 5-17 overall and 2-12 in Three Rivers League play. Rather than dwelling on the record, head coach T.J. Schlatter and her team focused on sending off seniors Sammy Van De Kuvering, Gabby Gray, and Adelie Leader with a fond farewell. Such a bittersweet night, Schlatter said of the season-ending game, played before a home crowd at Canby High School. We did not win the last match of the season, but we fought so hard and left it all out there on the floor. I'm so proud of this team and their performance, and so happy for these three seniors that we're going to miss so much.
Are you a healthcare hero? Do you want to become one? Are you looking for a position where you are valued, your time is your own, and you have ample opportunity for growth? Marquee Companies at Hope Village in Canby, Oregon offers all of that and more. They are currently hiring nurses, caregivers, CNAs, and enrolling students in their free CNA course. From competitive wages and up to $25,000 tuition reimbursement to flexible schedules and the opportunity to make a positive impact on someone's life, Marquee at Hope Village is the right place for you. Take your career to the next level and apply now to become a valued team member at Marquee at Hope Village in Canby. To learn more or apply today, text CURRENT, that's C-U-R-R-E-N-T, to 888 206-3432.
Hey, Frankie, what are you doing?
I'm trying to figure out which TV option I want to use when DirectLink turns off their video services in January of next year. It's so confusing. Do you know there's about 48 million streaming services to choose from? Which devices do they work on? What channels do they offer?
No, I did not know that. But you do realize that you're probably better off than you think. If you have DirectLink's Easy Video TV now, you're already using a streaming service. But listen, you don't have to go this alone. DirectLink is actually helping their members transition to their next video provider. The company has an extensive informational website where you can compare popular services, and they host live tutorials on streaming TV options to help you decide.
Well, hold the phone. Are you saying that they're actively trying to help their members switch to a competing service? Who does that?
Well, DirectLink does. I mean, I guess it's one more chapter in their long history of wanting the best for our community. They've actually offered free classes for the past 12 years that teach our neighbors about the latest technology and internet security practices. And don't forget, they also orchestrated that popular bingo game last year that helped keep everyone entertained and connected during the lockdowns. They've also launched special programs to help keep our students connected at home during the pandemic, and partnered with the city of Canby to give free Wi-Fi year-round at three local parks for locals and visitors alike.
Wait, DirectLink does all that?
They do indeed, and that's on top of providing the best and most reliable internet and voice services in town. So, to learn more about DirectLink services or how they can help you transition to the right video service for your home, visit directlink.coop today.
All right, joining us in the Canby conversation today is Tyler Neiser, Event and Marketing Coordinator at the Clackamas County Fairgrounds. Hi, Tyler.
Hello.
And seated next to him is Lauren Humphreys, who's on the Clackamas County Fair Board. Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
Maybe your first appearance on our show?
Apparently, I didn't realize. Hi.
He literally grabbed the mic out of my hands. Like, this is what I have to deal with every day.
Yeah, I didn't realize that this was a show, so I'm here now.
Well, you look great. You sound great. So you were just ready to go. We're talking about the Winter Fair, which is making its return this year. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
I think I'm loving this because I totally feel your pain right now.
I thank you. I'm so glad that you're enjoying it. At least someone is. Oh my gosh. It's like, guys, get your own podcast. You know, like, this is my thing. Like, who said you were allowed to do this?
Well, I'll start with the Winter Fair, and Laura can kind of add on, but we're really excited to have the Clackamas County Winter Fair come on this year for the second time. Last year we went with a drive-through rendition of it to kind of go for COVID protocols, and this year we're excited to have a walk-around event and make that work within COVID now, and also bring something that families can really enjoy outside of their vehicles and walk through the whole winter experience. So
yeah. So you know, like you say, last year was like so many events were either canceled or highly modified. Transitioned to it conceived as a drive-through event as a means of necessity because of the pandemic. What about the event that you felt, you know, people kind of got from it, or that it added to the community that you felt, let's keep it, you know, let's now expand on it since we can do that a little bit more. But rather than just like, we don't need to do drive-through events anymore, so we don't need to do the Winter Fair. What about it? You felt like, let's keep it in our event calendar.
Oh yeah. I think that this is just an awesome, Yeah, it's just an awesome thing that we can offer. A big portion, we've been working on this project for years, actually. And last year, just based on the fact that the community did need more options of things to do with drive-in events, we were able to make it happen where it wouldn't have probably happened had we not had last year. Something that when we were first working on this project, something that was a big, I don't know if I would say selling point, but a big, for lack of a better term, selling point, was that there's not a lot of events in our area. We do have the Grotto, we do have PIR, and we have Zoo Lights and the Silverton Gardens, and there's some little ones around like the Colton and a lot of other great things. But as far as like Southwest Portland, kind of Clackamas County in general, we don't have a lot of light festivals. So you really have to travel. Our communities have to really travel if they want to do something festive, aside from light the night. And
That is light
the
up
Grove,
the night.
Which is awesome too. What?
Light up the night. I think okay. Light the night is like sexual assault awareness or something like that. So
yeah, there's a copyright, and I can never remember which one it is, and I
probably want to be specific, but anyway, yeah, you're right, like he's very like local, very beloved, but like very super can be kind of insulated type events.
And so this, we wanted to offer something that was going to be large enough to entice our surrounding areas to come, but especially because we have such a beautiful large fairground event center that we don't actually use that for the time of the year. And so when we made the investment last year, we had to do a drive-through because of COVID, but the expectation was moving forward that we would be able to offer a pretty amazing walkthrough event eventually.
Very cool. And the investment you're talking about is like all of the lights primarily, right? All of those displays. Were those like purchased? Were they built? How did those come together?
Both. we are partnering with a local light business that is helping us with all of that. And so some of it is built, some of it is purchased from his suppliers. It just kind of depended, but we worked pretty closely with him to create an amazing experience. So a lot of it's already being set up as is. We walked through the tunnel today, actually, and it was pretty awesome.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. And some of them are like, I remember from last year, like very kind of apropos to, you had like a rodeo cowboy, you had some animals.
Even our entrance has cowboy boot Holly cowboy boots.
Nice. Very cool. So when does it start?
It starts November 26th. So the day after Thanksgiving, the 27th. And then it is December 3rd and 4th, 10th and 11th, 16th through the 19th. And then the
22nd, 23rd. And the last day is the 24th.
Right.
Okay. 5
to 10 p.m.
Very cool. And it's as you said, it's, tell me again how it's going to kind of work. So it's a walkthrough. You sort of park and walk over, either get tickets or show your tickets, and then you can just hang out, go through at your own pace, unlike the drive-through version where you linger a little too long, you might get a honk or something from behind. So.
And we're really excited because we wanted to really focus on families. So this year we decided to go for 10 and under are free. And then tickets are $15 for everybody above 10. So that really is helping families get to experience this together for the event. And we'll have beverages and food inside so they can have the whole experience. And like you said, just do it at their own pace. We'll have an area where they can watch the whole side of the building. It's going to be programmable lights and stuff so they could watch the side of the building and just spend some time with their family there.
That's really awesome.
And free parking.
Free parking. Very cool. Any other elements? I mean, is it the main thing, the lights, or are there going to be other aspects, music, anything?
The main thing is going to be the legs. It's going to be
like,
awesome.
Yeah, like I didn't mean to make it seem like that's not a big deal. Like, is there what else you got? Come on.
What else you got? Okay. Well, just kind of like walking you through, because I'm really excited about this project and we've been walking through it a lot and it's really exciting. So, you'll show up and you'll park, you'll get tickets at the red gate, which is the carnival gate for those who don't know the colors of our gates. And you'll be greeted by your food. So if you come a little bit early, you'll be able to get food with your family, maybe even a beverage, an alcoholic beverage, whatever you'd like. Then you're going to start the light area by walking through a 12-foot ornament. It's just pretty awesome. And walking through a 160-foot light-up tunnel that is not just like just lights. It's the kind of like it's the one that we had that people drove through last year. And so it's got a program.
Amazing.
We'll be dancing and doing stuff. And it's
oh, yeah.
Pretty cool. We definitely got
honked at going through that tunnel last
year. Right, because you want to sit and enjoy it because it's really cool.
Like, leave us alone. It's been a hard year. Come on. It's 2020. Like, let us have this. Dang it.
Well, now you'll be able to walk as slow as you'd like through it. So that's pretty exciting. And then when it spits you out.
My lawn chair.
Yeah. Well, we have benches on the other side. So you can, when you leave, you can sit down and spend more time there. Not affecting anybody else. One of the things that we added this year that we felt really passionate about adding was the something similar to the tunnel, but it is a light curtain that's going to go on the backside of Ely, which has allowed us to also offer really exciting things because it's programmable as well. And so you can do, so we offer proposal packages. So can you imagine, will you marry me in huge letters on the side of Ely? And then we also can do that with a company. So if you want your company party, you can, we have park exclusives that we're working with, as well as doing a company party, and we can program it with enough notice to even have your company on there, or sponsorships or whatever. We have lots of options with that. So you'll walk
really
down.
Cool.
It is really cool.
Yeah.
It should be going up next week. So you'll have to come put on your Canby Current hat and come take a picture for us.
I can do that. I can do that, but I'm not going to do the proposal thing. I'm already married and that's all I need. So.
So that is something you'll walk down along the side of Ely, and then there'll be some more food and beverage available to take a break and watch the show from a little bit farther away. And then you'll walk through the trees back in the grove and get to walk through some other lights. And then when you come back around, we have Santa's little village, and we're partnering with a designer. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Stephanie Anderson, but she is partnering with us to design. And she, for those on the show who do not know, she does the huge Halloween house in the dinosaur. I don't know what the neighborhood's called. It's the dinosaur park for anybody who has children.
I think it's called Northwood, but northeast, up on Northeast 14th Ave, Anderson Cove.
Yes, the Anderson Cove. Well, now it'll be the Anderson Santa Village, because she is going to deck out a place for Santa, and Santa's going to be here every single night. So yeah,
that's very cool. I'm sure Stephanie will appreciate that her name even comes before Santa there. That
all the kids.
I mean, Santa's here, but this is Anderson designed. Just so you kids know,
it's in the contract. It's in the contract. So that's going to be really exciting. And then you can sit while you're waiting to see Santa and look at hopefully some vendors and, sit and watch the Christmas tree that, we had last year. That was the other piece that was hard when people drove by it, is because they wanted to sit and watch it. So now you'll actually be able to sit and watch that Christmas tree. And then as you're leaving, you can get a few more a few more food items and sit down. Maybe you didn't get dinner before, but you'll get dinner after, and then you can leave.
Yeah. I, the way you're describing it, it's just like transform the fairgrounds into its own little walk around Christmas village. Very cool. Are you guys working with one thing that was really awesome last year, and it was sort of, you know, like the, it was separate from the winter fair, but everything was there. So it kind of felt like, you know, it was during the day. So it kind of felt like it was still taking place in that context, was the, you know, the Kiwanis food and toy drive. You guys going to be helping to stage that again this year? Do we know?
Yes, they are using a building for that. We were able to have them on the fairgrounds and support that mission as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Very awesome. Okay, cool. Is there a website or a place where people can go to get tickets yet, or just to, where that will that be?
It will be ccwinterfair.com. We're working on that. It should be up pretty soon.
Some information and tickets. Thank you guys so much for being on the show today. Is there anything else that people should know about, or anything else you want to tell us about?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for again for being on the show. Thanks for all your work on this. I really love this event. I'm so glad it's coming back and expanded in so many cool ways. So thank you guys.
Yeah, I guess I will add. I'm sorry.
It's too late. No, it's too late. You already, I already did my outro. I don't have anything else I can say. So, okay. Go ahead. She's like taking me seriously.
I just want
okay.
I want the final word. Is that we do have opportunities for sponsorship and for community partnership, as well as company parties. So call the fair office if you have a desire for any of those, or even our, if we have anybody who's listening to the show that wants to be a vendor partner as well, to give us a call so that we can, you know, just collaborate.
Thank you guys.
Hi, I'm Megan Waterman. I'm the owner and operator of the Book Nook in Canby, Oregon.
And I'm Tyler Clausen of Now Hear This Canby, the show you're listening to. Megan, the Book Nook is one of my favorite places in all of Canby. It's a one-stop shop for gifts, board games, new books, used books, and books from local authors. Why did you decide to open it?
Well, I love the power of a story. I love how reading about different people and places, times, stretches my mind. It makes me see the world differently, whether that's a fantasy story or a biography. It all changes the lens that I see and how I interact with people. The reason that we added games to our store is for that same reason. It's just a different way to experience story through gameplay.
And along with new selection, you're at a new location, right?
We are. We just moved, technically just across the intersection to the old Parsons building. We've expanded our space and also our selection. So we've got more books, more gifts. We added a larger gaming section. And now with the world opening back up a little bit more, we're starting to relaunch some of our events. We have relaunched our general fiction and our fantasy book clubs, and those are going great. And we're about ready to kick off game nights, starting with our beginner Dungeons & Dragons camp, led by Canby's very own Tyler Clausen.
Hey, that's me! If you're interested in D&D, make sure you stop by the Book Nook and get more information about role-playing opportunities there.
Yeah, or stop by anytime and chat with one of our booksellers about their current book recommendations, and let us help you find your next favorite read. We're now open on Sundays as well, so we're there 7 days a week.
Nice. The Book Nook is in downtown Canby or online at booknookcanby.com.
And now, a message from Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes.
Hi, everyone. I wanted to take this moment to invite you personally to come and hang out with us for our end of season client event. It's a thank you to all the wonderful people we've done business with, as well as a welcome to a lot of our community. I'm doing this in partnership with Vanessa Zimmerman, Zimmerman Team at Academy Mortgage. It's just kind of our way of saying thank you. We've really enjoyed getting to know you, doing business with you, etc. We'll be outside. We're sensitive to the fact that we're in COVID, still dealing with that. so it will be spread out. People will have room to breathe and sit and walk and talk. Reckless Company, if you've never heard them before, they're awesome. They're going to be playing. We'll have TMK here. I can't wait to try the corn dog. I've been waiting like 2 years to try this corn dog. So it looks amazing, and I've heard it's amazing, and I think there's quite a following. Also, they'll have all kinds of other food. We'll have beer and cider. Everything's hosted, of course, as a thank you. Again, it's for our clients. It's for our community. We really, really want to come and celebrate. We'll have swag for you, all kinds of fun things for the kids. We hope to see you on 9/16 from 4 to 8 in the afternoon.
On the Canby Hall Pass promo series today, we're going to be talking with Megan Waterman, owner and founder of the Canby Book Nook. Hi, Megan. How are you?
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Awesome. Happy to be here.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in. So tell us a little bit about the Book Nook, what you offer to the community, what people can find there. I imagine books are one thing.
We do have a few of those.
It's in the name, right?
We started in Canby almost 4 years ago, and we're just a nook of used books. We have
a growing nook, right?
Yeah, we have grown a little bit since then, and now really we are books, gifts, and games. We have new books, used books. We have a trade-in policy where you can bring me your used books for store credit. We have stationery. We've got a growing game section.
Awesome.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff you can find.
Yeah, yeah, it changes seasonally based on what comes in when you get new used things and whatnot. So there's always something new.
Every day.
Yeah.
It's like, it's like Christmas every day at the store. Every Tuesday is new release day. So that's when new books come out. So those shelves are changing weekly. And then used books are changing daily depending on what people bring me. So
Yeah. It's awesome. Love your store. The question I've been dying to ask, I'm sure so many listeners have been dying to ask, how did you get into this business?
How did it all begin? I have always been a book nerd.
It started when I was 3 years old and I learned how to read.
No, I was the kid in class that like had the book hidden in my textbook and was doing that instead of my homework.
I've done that before.
Flashlight into the covers.
Very cool.
No, but the business specifically, it was kind of a hobby of my husband and I. We were really into vintage and antique books, and found ourselves exploring independent bookstores all over the country, really, and we're sad that Canby didn't have one. And, and so one day my husband said, why aren't you doing this? So we built a bookstore.
That's awesome. Awesome. So as you mentioned, you know, started 4 years ago, grew from literally a nook to an amazing store that you have now. To what do you attribute your success?
I have really strong family support. There are
one of your daughters is here in the studio with us tonight.
She is.
Speaking of,
I have a big family. They are really, really supportive and huge encouragers, especially my husband. And then we're really lucky. We live in a great small community of readers, you know, people here are passionate about reading, but they're also passionate about family and community and small business, and we're lucky to be a part of that.
And that's what's so cool about your store, and so different from kind of, you know, more corporate locations, but like, you know, you can go in and be like, you know, this display is so cool, where did it come from? Oh, you know, Paul made that, or like like maybe your daughters are working there or something. That's really cool. Okay, so I don't know if you heard about this. There was this pandemic thing that happened like a couple of years ago.
I don't follow
some businesses were affected by it, but anyway, obviously it was something that, you know, affected all retail. How do you feel your store, the Book Nook, was able to survive that and you know, recover from the effects of that?
We do realize that it was a crazy time to grow and expand a business in the pandemic.
You guys moved and expanded during that.
We did. We did. Maybe that's why the business we're just crazy. No, it. What do I attribute that to?
There's that fine line between like bravery and craziness, right?
I think you have to be a little crazy to go into business. Gosh, yeah, it was a crazy year for all businesses, and there were. It was definitely a roller coaster.
Yeah.
With pandemic and fires and evacuations.
Right. There's so much.
Ice storms and I think when I tell the story sometimes when I first locked the doors, when they first had us all go into quarantine, and I locked the doors, I cried.
Yeah.
I did. I sat down. I was
March
like, wow.
March of 2020.
Yeah, March of 2020. I locked the door, and I called my husband, and I was bawling. I was like, oh, man, we worked so hard. Like, this might be it. It might be over. And
that's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so it's outside of your control.
Yeah, yeah. There wasn't anything we could do. Yeah. And we wanted to keep, you know, our neighbors safe and follow the law and and keep our family safe. But we are stubborn and we're not afraid to think outside the box. Mm. So when I start to get down, my husband's like, okay, well, how do we do this in a different way?
Yeah.
And really thinking about like how, okay, not just how do we keep our business open, but how do we help our community? And when you do those two things together, that's where the success comes from is not just always be focusing inwardly, but outwardly as well. We're like, okay, we're not the only ones suffering and quarantined at home. Like, all of our customers are stuck at home. They can't get books. They're getting bored.
A new book might be really useful right now if we could just get it to them. Yeah,
exactly. So we created something called a Board and Buster Bundle.
Yep.
We started delivering. And I had my teenagers, and we did a no-contact porch delivery. And so people were ordering on the website, and we delivered all the way to Malala, Wilsonville, Oregon City, like all over the place. And that kept us paying our bills, and more people discovered us through that.
Yeah.
So really it was helpful to us.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's awesome. Okay. Finally, last question and my favorite question. I get to put you on the spot. I get to ask you, what's something that you think most people don't know about you? Could be an achievement, could be a hobby that you have or a special skill.
Some of my customers might not like this one. So I've never...
They're not listening. Don't worry.
I've never read a James Patterson novel. I know. That's like sacrilege.
Just haven't gotten to it. It's probably on the list. It's just not at the top, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes. And he's a really nice man. I met him.
What? You've met James Patterson, but you never read one of his books?
I know. And he awarded me a bookseller scholarship for Christmas one year. Maybe this should not be the one thing.
I feel like James Patterson is listening to this right now. And
I'm
he's
so
like,
sorry,
Megan,
Mr. Patterson.
Megan, I trusted you.
He comes out with a new book every month.
I know.
I can't
There's
keep
so
up.
Many options.
Oh, yeah, like. I don't know where to start. No. It's just
okay,
not,
fair
not
enough. No, I like that. Megan, thank you so much for being on the series today.
Yeah, thank you very much. Bye.
Come buy some books.
Okay, on the KMB Hall Pass promo series today, we are coming at you live, recorded live, from the FOB Tap Room with the owner, Steve Puga. Hi, Steve. Welcome back.
Hello, Tyler. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. How about you?
Good, good. Thanks good. For stopping in.
Awesome. So why don't you start by telling us, just for folks that haven't been here, it's kind of in the name, but what do you do here? What do you offer to the community?
We try to specialize in, as FOB stands for, Friends of Beer. A lot of people know that. Some people are still learning it. My son and I try to work pretty hard to curate some of the finer, different beers and ciders out there for our customers. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's by the glass, and you can also do growlers.
Yes, yeah, we have different size growlers, 32s and 64 ounces.
Yeah.
And then we have a cooler of other kind of specialty items.
Yeah, you have like a couple of different selections, like two or three taps or something.
Yeah, we have maybe 34, let's
say. Oh, okay, I was a little low on my,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a couple there.
Awesome, so tell us how and or why, kind of however you want to approach it, but how you got into this business.
Short version is, I used to travel for my old career, which was in supply chain, and went into many bars and breweries, kind of different parts of the U.S. and throughout the...
Got a different flavor from...
Yeah, and then a couple trips overseas, and really just wanted to develop something that was a really comfortable pub, you know, atmosphere.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. FOB had been owned by somebody else, but was looking to go in the market, and just the... stars kind of aligned.
It did, yeah. This individual was moving on for some other other things, other endeavors, and it just actually happened to line up correctly. And my wife and I have been talking about doing this for quite some time, and thank goodness it worked out.
Tell me a little bit more about the kind of the feel here, or sort of what you feel is unique about FOB, the tap room here, and to what do you attribute the success that you've seen here?
Well, it's funny you ask. Actually, we just received, I received one of the best compliments I'd ever received since I've owned this place.
Yeah.
Older woman, and she's very, I think she's probably over 80, 85.
Yeah.
But she's from London.
Yeah.
And she came in the other day, and she was born in Britain. She's like, Steve, obviously you know I'm British.
Right.
Pretty strong accent.
You're not
going
to try to do the accent?
No.
Okay. Fair
certainly
enough.
Nowhere near. And she was very Steve. Kind, and she just walked up and caught me out of nowhere and said, hey, I just want to let you know that I brought my friends here, and it's something that I try to explain to them, that you're running a true proper pub, like a European-style pub.
Proper pub.
She did absolutely. That's a better than I could do. And so it was awesome. I mean, to hear that from somebody who's obviously traveled all over the
place. Right. I mean, that's what you were going for.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be one thing to, like, you know, us that haven't been there, be like, oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. I'm sure you nailed it. But
yeah.
But yeah, somebody's actually.
It was really, it was actually very humbling that she picked up on what we were trying to do.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of just the vibe where everybody kind of knows everybody in the neighborhood. And
yeah.
Awesome. Really easygoing place, man.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
So you may have heard, past couple of years we've had this pandemic thing going on
that
affected some businesses such as yourself. What would you say has been the keys to helping you survive that time and recover in the wake of the pandemic?
You know, a lot of it, just the community support. Honestly, I think I've talked to you about this before, but you know, we created a mug club.
Yeah.
When I bought this place, I wanted to have, again, that kind
right.
of neighborhood pub feel.
Yeah.
Where people know your name and
right.
what you've been doing. And so a lot of our success, thank goodness, has been attributed to those folks coming in and, you know, in those dark days, filling up growlers when they're really, you couldn't come inside and all that kind of stuff. And coming in and spending their money when they obviously didn't need to be here every day.
Yeah.
But they knew without them being here every day, we probably wouldn't have made it.
Yeah.
And that's, we've talked about this before. That's very, very close to accurate in terms
right.
of without their support, you know, in the community.
We wouldn't have made it.
Yeah, we would have been long since gone.
Yeah.
So,
I'm glad you're still here. All right, Steve, last question here, and this one's my favorite. I always feel like I learned something new from the people when I ask this question, but tell us something that most people don't know about you. Could be a special skill or a hobby that you have. Could be maybe an accomplishment that you've done that people don't know about.
Oh my gosh. Well, I can't tell you the most obvious one. People that know me, customers, know that I'm really OCD and a germaphobe.
Okay.
maybe some people don't know that.
Yeah.
If you ever see me in here, mopping, sweeping, dusting, killing a random fly or something.
Right.
If you ever see me get up and I try not to bother my customers,
right.
thank goodness, but every now and then you might see Steve get up and walk around and grab an errant coaster on the floor, right? Just because it drives me crazy.
You're in a good business for that, though, right? I mean, like...
Yeah, I mean, hopefully people appreciate that. I mean, that's the other thing. I think people, if they know this place and they know me and my staff,
right.
we
right.
really are super adamant about
right.
keeping stuff clean. And
right.
it's just part of my DNA, and it means a lot to me, of course, right?
Yeah.
So I'd say that's probably maybe one thing people don't know.
Right, right. I feel like you think this is a job interview, and you're like, I asked you for your biggest weakness, and you're like surreptitiously telling me something that's actually a strength.
It's indeed. Like... indeed. Trust me.
So tell me why you want this accountant job, or what's your biggest weakness? I'm just a real stickler for numbers.
Correct,
Just a problem I have. Everybody tells me that. So.
Yeah, I mean, besides that,
But the place is very clean, I would say. I've always noticed that. I'm noticing it here now. You know, you run a very... very clean establishment here.
We try really hard, and I think that's a key thing people would want to hear about, especially coming out of COVID, is
absolutely.
That we were clean before, and it's just as clean, if not cleaner now, than it was before.
Yeah.
I'm trying to give you something else that would warrant.
Yeah, something. How about something fun? It's not like, I like to clean things.
I do. Well, obviously, I like to drink beer. That's more than obvious.
Oh, shocker.
Super.
Right, no one knew that.
I'd say the only thing, maybe,
do you still travel?
Not recently because of some of my health problems. Yeah. But in my old life, which I like to get back into at some point, I was a driving instructor.
Oh, cool.
For the Audi Club. So I used to teach people how to drive their performance cars on the racetrack. A lot of people don't know that about me. So I used to do that. I'm a car guy.
Yeah.
I taught my son how to drive his car when he was a teenager. On the racetrack,
and right.
taught him only do it on the racetrack,
right?
Drive responsibly.
Right.
Do it if you want to drive fast on the racetrack, but not on public roads.
Right, if I ever catch you doing this in Canby.
Wrong, like, exactly.
Your
so,
keys
I mean, I'd say probably maybe a lot of people don't know that about me. I spent a lot of time doing that. I'm still like on the reserve list, if you will, for the driving instructor group.
Very cool, yeah.
But yeah, due to my health, I haven't been able to do it recently, but I hope to do it sometime soon.
Awesome, very cool. All right, Steve, well, thanks so much for taking time out today.
Thank you so much.
Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears, even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? That baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, do you know any trivia that isn't like animal related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Canby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Canby's longest running locally owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Yep. Heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Canby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately like caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
Dude, I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Canby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Canby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net.
Now Hear This Canby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Canby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe. And we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.